Hey everybody, I'm pissed. I recorded this intro already, but on my computer's microphone, so it sounded horrible and I just could not let y'all deal with that. So instead, y'all are going to have to deal with my horrible Chinese mono USB microphone. Instead of my crappy computer mic. And I'm pissed because I have to do it over again, and that's an extra like 2 to 3 minutes I'm not going to get back in my life. So, I'm sorry about that. Now, I've let myself down. And anyway, the episode that you're about to listen to, hopefully, is an episode I recorded with the Peaceful Treason guys. I don't know if y'all remember, but in episode 34, Zero and I recorded with Peaceful Treason, and it's one of my favorite episodes. It's one of the episodes I laughed the hardest during. So go and check out episode 34, and then the episode that you're about to listen to is the one we recorded immediately after. So, before you get started, I'm pretty sure they did not say their Twitter handles, and I think Jared changed his. So let me go ahead and tell you their Twitter handles, and this will also be in the description of this episode. So, Jared is at KAJACCORD. And Will is at KJBRUSHTHREEP. Yeah, follow those guys. Zero and I hung out with them at Childerberg. They're two of the nicest guys ever. And two of my favorite people in the Liberty community. And I hope y'all enjoy the show. I really hate Zoom, but like we tried Discord, which in theory works really well. But for whatever reason, Liberty Zero just cuts out all the time. Like he may be present for like maybe 25% of the episode if we use Zoom. And and then we tried
you mean Discord?
Yeah. Like Discord should work really well, but it just, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work on his computer, which I hear sometimes. It's odd. But then, so like when we first started, we were using Skype, and Skype works well, but you record it as one audio track.
So yeah, exactly.
If one person is really low, then you're screwed, you know?
Yeah, that's a big reason why I just prefer, the last time Will and I recorded, we just got on Hangouts and we didn't even really care about the connection quality, and then we just recorded ourselves locally. Because if I've got the two separate tracks, it's just so much easier to edit and sound, yeah, make it sound decent. There's other apps out there like Zencastr, and there's, it's $15 a month or something like that.
Jared, we're going to get on Zencastr. I didn't grab the login, but, we have an in on some Zencastr is what's happening.
Oh, sweet.
Well, I know, I know Jared, you're in on the frat chat.
Yeah.
I know me and Bullshito and Trent from Trent Must Talk got onto Zencastr, and then the other one. I forget what it's called, but it's the other big one. And we just could not make it work, you know? And like I would, if it worked at all, like the free version, I would very seriously think about the paid version. But like for me, and like the couple of times I've tried to use it, like we tried to use it with Paz recently, and it's weird because like when we were on there with Paz, Liberty Zero could hear me, I could hear Paz, and Paz could hear Liberty Zero, but then Liberty Zero couldn't hear Paz, and Paz couldn't hear me, and I mean it was super weird.
What the hell? That's bizarre.
And the exact same thing happened when I was on there with Bullshido and Tramp, and I think Ghost of Rebellion was on there too. Like it was one person could hear another, but they couldn't hear them, and I mean it was super weird.
That's so crazy.
I'm just incredibly skeptical, you know, about paying for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's so weird. We've had so many technical difficulties that it's just a part of it. There's no simple way to do things. And some of these apps out here, you know, they try to make something complex fairly simple. Yeah. I'm kind of the mindset, if I can figure it out in my head, I'm okay with it being more complex if it freaking works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just go ahead and have, you know, the soundboard and, you know, the extra equipment that's not totally necessary. And because if I can make it sound good, I want to make it sound good. And, you know, it's just a little bit extra work. The only problem is we don't monetize, so I don't make any money for it, which is interesting. You do. You're in, this is Patreon. So these are for your paid listeners are the only ones listening. That's kind of cool. We've dabbled with the idea of it, but you know, this has always been more of a hobby for us.
It's one of those things where I don't think we put out anything worth anyone paying for. So as much as I'm in favor of a snake oil,
sell it, Will.
Well, no, I'm actually, you know, I've taken a pro fraud standpoint in many arguments that if you can sell snake oil, do it. I don't give a shit. Like someone willing to impart their cash for something that is somewhat considered worthless, that's on them. That's not on you. So if you can squeeze some water from that stone, if you can sell some snake oil, by golly, you do it. I would do it if I can find a salesperson that'll do it for like pure straight commission. I'll do it. I don't have the patience. I've never been a salesman. And I God damn it, I wish I could. Someone come to me that just wants to sell peaceful treason for commission only, and I will hire you in a heartbeat. Well, regardless of prior experience.
Well, that's interesting because I wanted to mention this on the podcast, but I didn't get to. I have recently undergone a project called the Cotton Report, which it started out as a Drudge Report kind of alternative. I have like at the moment, we haven't released yet. What day are we recording right now? I can't find my phone.
Right now it's...
It's the latter days of June.
Sunday, June 28th.
Yeah. The website's launching on July 5th. So,
cool.
But like it's part news aggregator, and we have some original writers. We already have stuff on there, but like this is fun doing the podcast stuff. But I also really like the idea of having this as like a alternative source of income.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so like between Dissecting Liberty, we have three patrons. Shout out to Gonzo, Coonhound Redhead, and Anarcho Mustachist.
That's what a generator would have produced for people that
well,
were Patreon,
you know,
members of this.
They are super active on the Dissecting Liberty Discord, so I'm
cool,
pretty certain they exist, but I'm not fully convinced, you know. and then for the Cotton Report, we haven't even launched yet, and we already have a $10 a month patron. So like, And here's the thing about the Dissecting Liberty Patreon. I created a $1 tier, I think a $5 tier, and a $10 tier. I created the $10 because I'm like, you know, why not? You have to have three. Nobody's going to do it. And then our first two patrons did the $10 tier immediately.
Oh, and wow.
I'm incredibly thankful. They're the only ones that are going to be hearing this. So like a personal thank you. And
yeah.
And, but so much of it is like, you know, prepare, you know what I mean? Like if you don't feel like you're ready at the moment, go ahead and do it. Get it set up, because you never know what, like when the right moment will be. You know what I mean? You never know when that's going to happen. So already have it set up. So when that right moment comes, you know, you're able to, take advantage of it.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's pretty good advice. I think, man, if I could make some supplemental income, it would definitely, I'll tell you this, we would get out more content for sure. You know, that's just the big thing is like, you have to prioritize your life. And, you know, I'm a single father. I have a job that's demanding of me. And, you know, there's just only so much of me to go around. And
you haven't made the proper sacrifices, I think.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
I haven't made enough sacrifices. Yeah, I messaged you a while ago. It's like, you got to get rid of the job or the kid or both, and then we can podcast all the time.
and then we can do this.
Well, that's kind of a situation where I'm a bit lucky getting into this stuff a bit young, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm in school and like I have income, but you know, I do have a lot of time to devote to this stuff to get it off the ground at least, you know?
Yeah. I knew you had a lot of time when I logged into your Discord. Holy shit, man. I can't keep up with you people.
And listen, you know, you're on the frat Discord. You're not on the Dissecting Liberty Discord. I'm on a lot.
That's
more
crazy, dude. Well, and hey, by the way, I know I told you I would try to create some create some content for the Cotton Report, and I definitely cannot commit to 2 a month. But if you would want me to, anytime I can get something to you, I will.
Yeah, like my current formulation of it is a writer is someone that produces stuff on a monthly basis, and a contributor is someone that just kind of pops in and has a piece.
Oh, cool.
You know, here
oh,
and there.
Cool, cool. Okay.
So
there you go,
Jared.
That's
my current idea.
Yeah, you can be a contributor.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Shit. man. So, as we were talking previously, I have in my shopping cart a Palmetto State Gen 4 8-inch 9mm 7-inch barrel lightweight M-Loc. Man, it's like $800 still. And why is the magazine look like a little dangling condom from this beautiful gun? It's like this opaque, dirty teeth colored striated thing. Why wouldn't the magazine also be black? I don't understand.
Well, then that might just be like the it might have been a cheaper option for them to not dye it or paint it. I don't know.
It's awful. It's pretty awful compared to the rest of the gun's beautiful.
Which one is it? What's it called? Palmetto.
Palmetto PSA Gen 4 8-inch 9mm 7-inch barrel M-LOK.
Well, as far as like rifles go, in my experience, you're going to want different mags anyway.
That's true.
The ones that come, yeah. You know? So.
Okay. So. Like, I could 3D at that point. I'll 3D print one, maybe. I don't know. We'll get someone to do it.
I know, like as far as AR mags go, I really like Magpul for 223. But like that's the most experience I have. I'm not the gun guy, you know. I know a decent amount, like as far as like zero, it's his hobby.
Okay, you know?
Yeah, he knows a lot.
Can we say something about why they gotta keep jumping between different scales of caliber and make the numbers all not make sense?
Yeah.
Seriously, dude.
Do y'all know about the Burning Boots podcast?
Yeah.
They're like our brother podcast. They kind of
like Kissing Brothers.
Yeah, pretty much. I've made out with Derek a couple of times. I'm not gonna lie. But we're me and Zero are really close with the hosts, and both Davey and Kyle both know a ton about guns, especially Kyle. He knows a lot about guns. And the inside joke for the podcast is like, Derek will be like, all right, yeah, you keep saying all these gun numbers, let's talk about movies or some shit, you know. And
I love this guy.
Yeah, Derek is the best host, I'm not gonna lie.
He suckered me in on that DM thread a couple times. I clicked on shit I didn't mean to click on.
He's gotten a bit wild on that frat chat on Twitter.
I didn't like it. I just didn't mean to click on it.
Yeah, he got drunk one night and he went a little crazy. But I forget why I mentioned them. But now I'm kind of like that with
because of the calibers that are numbers that are constantly all over.
Yeah, the gun numbers. I don't know gun numbers at all. I know for AR the smallest caliber for a rifle is 223. I know the 1911 is 45 ACP. I know. For a good carry pistol, typically people carry 9mm, and I know the first gun I ever shot was 22. So like, that's my
and so what are the
of my knowledge?
What do those numbers mean? Like I know obviously it's the caliber, but why would, to Will's point, why would you say 9mm for one? And you know, I don't understand. I guess it's different manufacturers. Originally, you know, just started doing it that way. But I even noticed with the there's a Walther 38 and a Walther 380, and I'm sitting here going, aren't those are they the same caliber? I don't even know.
I don't know the difference. And I know when Liberty Zero listens to this, probably tomorrow, he's going to be just grinding his teeth because
I know. This is stuff we should ask beforehand, but. Maybe we'll just tweet at him and say, hey, answer this. But I'm sure there's a good, you know, article out there that just breaks it down real simply. It's interesting. For people who are green coming into it, it can be incredibly overwhelming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's a class of gun enthusiasts that like really bitch against, these fucking newbies with their blah, blah, blah. Well, the newbies have that because someone's there telling them to get that.
Like, yeah.
It's not happenstance.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you're like really enthusiastic about X, Y, or Z, then do that. And then people will get that. Although you have to keep that in mind that's going to raise the price. And if you might be mad about that too, you might have that hipster envy where it's like, people don't know about this band. They're the best band. I was like, everyone likes this band. Now the tickets are $100 to see them. Fuck that.
Yeah.
It's a real winner's curse. If you spot the good gun in a ammo combo.
Yeah. That's kind of why I prefer AR to AK, because I know somebody in my life made the comment recently. They said they prefer an AR because it'd be a lot easier to get 223 off of a dead National Guardsman than, you know, AR ammo.
You know? As Dave Chappelle said, modern problems require modern solutions.
Yeah.
So listen to this. I just found a list because I'm trying to figure out, and I don't fully understand how one gun can shoot different calibers. To be honest with you, I can't quite wrap my mind around that.
Well, Jared, sometimes a gun is assigned a caliber at birth. Sometimes a gun finds out it's a different caliber at birth, and it can shoot many other calibers afterwards.
I can answer that a bit.
Okay.
For a lot of rifles, you know, for a like an AR, for most ARs, because they're like a Lego gun, as leftists like to call them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to fire a 223 for an AR, which is incredibly common, and then the other one, the next one up, I don't remember what it's called, a lot of the difference is the barrel. So you can have a 223 barrel or a whatever the other one is barrel. And then also the magazines and the ammo and whatever. But but most of the parts are interchangeable, you know.
So okay, so the barrel, so if you have, so is the casing all the same diameter, I assume, but the bullet, the round itself is what was what's being measured, is that right?
For AR, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, see, that makes sense to me.
Because you'll notice in an AR round, like for a 223, which I have the most experience with, the casing, the brass case, is very large compared to the bullet itself.
Right. Yeah.
It's a grower, not a shower.
Exactly. Yeah.
So listen to this. I got to read you this list. This is
I've got experience with that.
These are the different cartridge choices for an AR-15. 204 Ruger, 223 Remington, 22 Nosler, 224 Valkyrie, 25-45 Sharps, 6.5 Grendel, 6.8 SPC, 300 Blackout, 300 Hammer.
All right, Bernie Sanders, we get it. There's too much choice. We need one deodorant, one
30 round. Remington, 350 Legend, and 450 Bushmaster. That's crazy.
Well, I will say 300 Blackout is incredibly popular among a certain amount of people. It's more expensive. You have to get a different barrel. And to make the gun compliant, it's more expensive as far as parts go. And the ammo is just more expensive, but people really like it. 223 Remington is the most common. Mm-hmm. And in most situations, that's all you're going to need. Like that's all I shoot. You know, there's not really a reason. That's what the military shoots, I'm pretty sure. So like it's the most common, it's the most versatile, you know, it's probably the best go-to. Also, it's the cheapest. Like you can get good 223 pretty easily just ordering it online, you know. And then I don't know what the other one is. It starts with 0.5 something. And that's the 5.56.
Wow.
That's the next.
This one doesn't list anything above the 450 Bushmaster.
5.56 is or maybe I might be wrong about that. No, that might be the AR. I don't know. I'm not a gun guy. I'm not a gun guy. I'm talking way out of my league. Like the handgun stuff, particularly with SIG, is fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
But I know for AR, I prefer 223 because it's common and reliable, depending on the manufacturer of the ammo and the reliability of the gun. But 223 is incredibly common. It's the most used round. But I don't know, like for home defense, you know, like the issue with home defense as far as firearms goes, like Zero was saying earlier, you don't want to penetrate walls and hit a loved one.
Right. Absolutely.
But like with handguns, full-sized handguns are good. Like this will piss people off, like I said earlier, but I really like the 1911. Break it in.
Yeah.
You know, practice with it. You got to practice with a handgun, but the 1911, I'm incredibly accurate with the 1911 at way farther than I should be. You know?
Will, are you there?
Yeah, I had to attend to some dogs. One of them knows how to open doors. As the state news would say, it's pure anarchy here. Yeah.
Right, so I'll tell you what I have as my handgun, not of choice. It was.
Oh my God, are you gonna?
I'll announce it. I'll say it. Okay. I'll admit it. I don't care. This was so. My situation was basically, well, so
I can set it up for you.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you had a situation where a arms trained communist was harassing your family.
Yes.
So Correct. You had to act in the most expedient manner possibly and get a cheap gun ASAP.
Yes, and you know I've been pretty tight with my my money over the last couple of years, and part of the part of that is because I
how smart you are, because it's held its value so much.
Right. Yeah, I know. But I anyway, I'm kind of a tightwad when it comes to my money. Well, that's not even true. I'm a tightwad about certain things, but I'll go out to like a bar and drop 80. It's stupid. So anyway, I bought the quickest gun I had access to, and it's a High Point 45. And this thing is so freaking, it's bulky, it's heavy. Obviously it's unattractive. I don't know why these people can't make a good looking gun, but it really is a hideous beast. But it, from everything that I've read, and I don't really know how to compare it much to other guns, but it functions, you know, rarely jams. It's pretty true, and people rave about them. And I read so many reviews, and it's like, yeah, the thing doesn't look good, but it shoots. You know, it does its job. And so I was like, all right, I'll buy that. And it was cheap, so obviously. So,
well, like when it comes to handguns, the general principle is the higher the caliber, the more accurate.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why 45 is was incredibly popular throughout history. And I'm looking at like pictures of this now, and you know, frankly, like people love Glocks, and I think that's the ugliest gun imaginable. So I think
it's ugly too, man. I completely agree.
Yeah, coming at it from a completely unbiased perspective, I've been really impressed with Sig Sauer. They look sexy as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And if I'm being totally honest, that's actually why I that was the first thing that drew my eyes to the Walther, is just the way it looks. I think it's a sexy gun.
The way it inserts into your anus, potentially, it's you get it.
Are y'all fans of Legion of Skanks?
Oh yeah, I was a huge fan. I tweeted today. I threw my support behind Luis Gomez for President of Skanconia.
Really?
Yeah, that's the only vote I'll cast this year.
I remember I was watching, and at the time I had three roommates, right? I was watching the episode where they inserted the gun into Big J's butt, and I was watching it in the living room.
That's crazy. And did he lose a bet or something? Is that
yeah,
how it
he
happened?
Did
in the most hilarious fashion possible.
And I was watching that in the living room through my Amazon Fire Stick, and I luckily enough the other two of my roommates were out of town, but one was still there and he was about to leave, and I was watching it while he was getting ready to leave. And so there is a video of me laughing my ass off at this video of this guy getting a gun in the butt. And there's a caption that says, confirmed for gay. That video is out there somewhere. Nobody's going to be able to find it because it's on Snapchat, and Snapchat's dumb, but it's out there.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, no, they're going hard. They're the heroes we don't have to be. I really like this story arc they're moving into, where Dave gets a little more involved with his political background, and he's nailing it so far. But for a couple of years now, I've been a full-on Gomite. Like, Lewis was my least favorite when I became a Skanks listener, and he's by far my favorite. He won me over wholeheartedly. He's a real ass dude. I hope to be half the ass dude he is.
I don't have a favorite, I guess. Maybe Big J, if I had to choose.
Okay. Well, I agree with you that, and I think Dave's trying to save face here. He's been the worst Skank for a year or two now. He's got some catch up to play.
Well, you know, I'm gonna say something controversial, but I agree with the Burning Boots hosts on this. I don't think Dave is that funny.
Oh shit. I think he's funny in very he does a great Lewis voice.
Yeah.
He does some good logical fallacies. I think he is not have the reference material Jay does, and he doesn't have the absurdity that Lewis has. So in a way, it comes down to how hard are you going to work at this? Because at this point, he's more of a studious comedian. He has to work at it, and he could do it. He's got the brains. How hard is he going to work at it?
If I had to put the three hosts on like a D&D, whatever it's called, I've never played D&D, but you know, like the lawful good chart. Mm-hmm. If I had to put them, I would say Lewis is like chaotic neutral, like he's the wild card, you know.
Chaotic neutral.
I think Big J is like lawful neutral, you know. He's good in a sense, but he's also has the potential to be bad. And I think Dave is like neutral, you know. I think he's just middle of the road. He pops in with like a witty comment every now and again, but he's definitely not like on one clear end of the spectrum, you know what I mean?
He is a true Libertas was good. You know, he said some funny things. He had some really good jokes in there.
Yeah.
I think Dave is just a really good commentator. You know, his commentary is just really good. He is really witty. If you listen to him, sometimes it's not necessarily even witty humor. It's just witty responses, you know. Yeah. And when he's more serious, I feel like he's more in his element, you know what I mean? But I think he also, man, he's really shifted around on some of his libertarian philosophical perspectives.
he spent too much time in Jersey, man.
That's what it is. It's
I've
big
got
city, man.
Step-in-laws that are from Jersey, and I don't get me wrong, I enjoy drinking and hanging out with them. But there's this certain traditional.
Don't worry, they're not Patreons. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, there's this traditional cultural vibe that I don't jive with, and if he's around that a lot, it's gonna bleed off on him, and that's basically what's happening. And,
yeah,
you know, we ran into this quite a bit with our Twitter account being like sex positive, and you run into some sex negative traditionals, and they don't like it at all, and make it about all about sex, but that's one component of it.
Yeah. So this is really interesting. This is something that I haven't fully developed, and this might be one of the things that I write about Cotton, but I listened to this. I stumbled across this YouTube video where a guy was doing a really good breakdown of the whole topic of the episode, it was like a 15-minute video, was conformity. And he broke down the history of conformity and how humans conform within society. And he made this amazing point. It's a survival mechanism. Human beings will conform to popular opinion or popular whatever, because it's literally a survival mechanism. It's easier to find a mate. You know, it's easier to avoid conflict. So I look at the libertarian circles, and we're obviously nonconformists, probably to the fullest extent, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, it's even way more even than your left anarchists. It's almost like it's very bizarre to me that there's this anarchism. To me, is about nonconformity, and I think it's a scary place to be, but that's why we're made as outcasts. I was going to make that relevant to what we were talking about. What were we talking about before I started the conformity rant?
Like Legion of Skanks and
yes. So
Dave being an unfunny cuck.
Well, I think it's just I think it's just human nature. When you spend enough time around a certain group of people, eventually you start to adapt their, you know, cultural norms, their sometimes even the dialect or the you know the accent can bleed off onto it, and so it starts to get into your subconscious. And in my opinion, that's kind of what has happened with Dave. You know, living in the big city, wasn't the studio in New York for a while, and so he was in the studio all day. It's just like, dude, you know, that big city is gonna it's going to rub off on you. Same thing, I think, it has happened with Bird from the Fagcast. I think he just has a city perspective, you know? And it's like, conform or you can't survive in the big city. So I haven't fully like parsed that out, but there's something really interesting there, I think.
So you haven't fully parsed it out, but you're still calling out names and starting podcast wars. Yeah. We can't win.
And I don't necessarily say it as a negative thing. Certainly with.
I know.
Bird.
What you're saying, it's a perspective thing.
I have taken issue with Dave. I mean, we've gone back and forth on Twitter. You know.
Yeah.
But I've never had anything that I directly disagree with Bird on. I don't think I get the sense that he's not quite as, you know, I don't even think he would consider himself an anarchist. I don't know. I don't know.
Like a philosophical anarchist, but not necessarily an economic anarchist.
Right.
I don't think birds exist personally. So I'm not.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's something that I've been thinking about, and I'm gonna play around with it a little bit more. The one thing that, you know, the whole COVID thing and maybe like military worship, I see that happening. I think people just conform because they know if they don't conform, their life is just a little bit harder, and people don't have the energy to put up the fight, to be cast as a radical, you know. But if you really sit somebody down and be like, look, think about this, you know, and they get kind of in a safe environment, a safe environment where other people are not necessarily conforming, they'll tell you what they really think. And a lot of times they agree, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have gone to Iraq, or maybe I don't need to wear this mask.
Yeah. Well, I've thought the same thing about Dave Smith, because, you know, Think about it like this. Like if each of those Legion of Skank hosts have their own podcast.
Yeah.
Like
some
Big
of them
J
have seven, like Lewis.
Yeah. But like he has Real Ass, whatever it's called. Where he had that blonde chick.
Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, or which one?
I don't know. The one where he had Nicole Arbor.
That's it. The Real Ass Podcast.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He has Real Ass Podcast, which other than Legion of Skanks is like his flagship.
Yeah.
And Big J has like the Fire Pit, right? And then Dave Smith has Part of the Problem. So, and the Fire Pit and Real Ass Podcasts are comedy podcasts. So if Lewis or Big J goes on another podcast, they are going on as a comedian, you know. But Dave Smith has his libertarian podcast, so if he goes on a like a guest spot, he's going on as a libertarian. So technically, I would figure that Dave Smith goes on more libertarian podcasts than he goes on comedy podcasts.
Yep.
Okay.
So for sure,
it makes, like, to your point, Jared, it makes sense that he would. Like the intellectual libertarian mindset is more in his mind than the comedy mindset, which, like, they joke about on Legion of Skanks. That's like ex-comedian Dave Smith, you know, whatever. Like Dave Smith that hasn't done a comedy set in 18 years or whatever. But like it's true, you know. Like it makes sense that his mind would be more towards the intellectual persuasion than the comedy persuasion nowadays.
Sure.
Which maybe
maybe he should change up that strategy, because I think it would be better if he went on more comedic
absolutely podcasts. Absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
because you know you've seen him over the years with the Skanks. He's made some really damn good points on there and kind of changed, especially Lewis, I think. Is that right?
Kind of
started to shift his mind a little bit.
Lately, you know, just the overarching COVID enforcement has kind of changed a lot of people's minds, I think, in the big cities. Like the comedic mindset is actually somewhat based in logic and absurdity, right? Yeah. So when logical people see these absurdities around them, they both make jokes, but also, you know, at their core, they're like, what the fuck is this? So that's why the comedic minds and comic fans are ripe for kind of this revolutionary radical ideas, which is why I would actually prefer, not to tell them what to do, but Dave, go on more comedically themed podcasts versus libertarian themed podcasts. They're going to accept him wholesale anyways.
Yeah, real quick, it says that we have less than 2 minutes left. Do y'all want to talk a little bit more?
I
need to get off. I've got to go.
I got to take care of these dogs that are barking. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not.
Yeah, I heard them for a little bit, but it hasn't been too terrible.
I locked them outside.
this has been great. Thanks for having us on, and we need to swap cast way, way more often.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that we have a really good dynamic. So yeah, we definitely need to do something, you know?
Yeah. We'll get some mega cast going. I got, in the next couple of weeks, finally get my studio set up. I'm like sitting crisscross applesauce in the middle of a bed trying to do this. It's not comfortable. So we'll go. I'm gonna have a more permanent situation very shortly.
Yeah, right on, man. Thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, no issue, man. Anytime.
Cool. And we'll have you on our show sometime soon, too.
Hell yeah, man. Because I know, like, Zero is getting married pretty soon.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and I'm
Bachelor
going...
party.
His bachelor party will probably be like, I don't know, like, he'll... I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese or Dave and Buster's.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, Liberty Zero doesn't drink, so.
Oh, yeah, but you shouldn't go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Hey, man, Chuck E. Cheese, don't hate on Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't hate on it, but maybe if there's no children allowed in there, maybe that could be a fun bachelor party.
Well, then Dave and Buster's.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
Dave and Buster's.
But, like, I shouldn't say because I honestly don't know what he's doing. So, but yeah, congratulations on him getting.
Even though we acknowledged and we knew the limitations, we still pushed past them.
I thought we had more time when we were recording with Pete. I sent a picture to Zero of the audio file, and you can tell which one was Pete because it was just incredibly populated. So I said, hey Pete, like, I'm sorry to cut you off, but you know, we have less than 5 minutes, so do your plugs. And he took the whole entire 5 minutes just for the Monopoly on Violence documentary, and I had to do like his other plugs separate, just,
oh my god,
doing it, because I mean, like, he just, I love him to death and he was a great guest, but he just talked.
God, I have to read this cringe-tastic tweet.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I want to dox this person or not. Do I know them?
Well, are you taking us off topic? Because we're rapping.
Yeah, no, we got to talk about this. We got to do this.
Didn't you have a neglected child?
We got to do this. No, I don't have my daughter tonight, but let me read this. I don't know. I'm following this person, but he doesn't follow me. And after I read this, you'll know why. It says, as much as I'm a small L libertarian, sometimes America's downfall is being too free. The way that iPhone app exists that tells you if you should get a COVID test, but most of us won't flip it on because corporations mine our data and we value privacy on principle. In Wuhan, during the lockdown, they would stop you, tag your license plates, etc., and come find you and test you and isolate you if you had visited a COVID outbreak zone. And that shit worked. So this guy's claiming he's a small L libertarian, but he wants totalitarian regimes to force people into lockdown, force tests on people. And what do you mean it worked? Like, oh my God, I can't with this COVID thing. I just can't.
Yeah, nothing worked. The one and a half percent near death people all died, and
yeah,
and they got the herd immunity they clamored for. They got it, but that's not enough because it is. Yeah, it's like all the memes are saying now. It's about obeying commands. It's not about protecting lives.
Right.
Real quick, I want to mention that. Just remember, the three people are listening to this. So like, and if you don't want to say the person, I understand. But after we're done recording, please send it to me.
Oh, it's I mean, I don't think he's even in our circles, but it's at.
Not one of the three. Just let fire with both barrels. yeah.
I mean, no, how can you sit there and call yourself a libertarian? I don't even understand that.
Well, he's not. He's well. You know, that actually it's people like
he
that.
He has it in his bio. It's in his fucking bio.
Yeah, but it's people like that, which is why you and I don't call ourselves libertarian. We don't use that L word because of those people, essentially. Yeah,
that's true. That's
like,
true.
Like we took the Michael Bolton position of, why should I change my name? They're the ones that suck.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We'll change our names anyways because they suck that much.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. And I've kind of warmed up to the using libertarian a little bit more lately, but a lot of times I'll say libertarian, or I'll even say like libertarian anarchist, but I'm throwing that word anarchist in there because I'm not afraid of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm happy to call myself an anarchist.
Well, I like free market anarchist right now.
Like, yeah, that's what I call myself, as a free market anarchist.
I tweeted the other day, it's funny how socialists can have like an incredible amount of nuance when it comes to socialist theory. But all forms of capitalism are crony capitalism, you know, FDR type capitalism.
Yeah.
So, and I think not only absolutely, is that true, dude, with socialists, but I think that's true with like most Americans. Like the only conceivable form of capitalism is like the current system, you know? So
right.
I think at least if they don't know what a free market is, or if they kind of doubt what they think about free market, that has them asking questions, you know, which is good.
I'm just saying, bro, you're not a libertarian. Holy shit.
yeah. I'm going to cling to voluntarism to my hands are.
Yeah. I like voluntarism.
Cold and hard because,
yeah,
because that appeals to just to the base decision of, well, am I compelled by direct threat or not to this decision, which I guess that somehow became subjective, is what's direct compulsion, but whatever. It's like, oh, well, I have to work to eat, so capitalism is oppressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right. Sorry to derail, but as you were starting the new Zoom call, I saw that pop up and I was like, good Lord, man.
Yeah, I don't follow that guy.
No, I don't either anymore.
I get a good satisfaction when I see something I shouldn't. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I see nobody follows them that, you know, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like that. Not to get back to the echo chamber,
right?
But it's a good litmus test. If nobody follows this person that has like a million followers and they're saying trash, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a decent amount of people I follow that follow them.
Follow this guy.
Yeah, like really? Jacob, like the Childerberg and Tasting Anarchy.
Fuck that guy. Fuck him in his ass.
Sal the Agorist and Todd Hagopa.
Oh yeah,
Hagopian. You don't know Todd Hagopian?
No, I know him. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I know him. I follow him. Like that's how I saw the thing.
Todd Father.
Like if it's a complicated word and it's not French, or maybe German. Like I know a little bit of German, but especially
I know a little
French.
Bit of German and French. Maybe we should fuck around.
Grüßti wie geht's.
Nope.
that's hi. How are you?
I could say goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. I took French in college, German in
that's German.
Grade, but I can count to 10 in both, and that's about it.
Je suis fatigué.
I'm going to, what are you going to?
I'm tired.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Yes, we, I am fatigue tired.
I am tired. Yeah, fatigue. Okay, there we go.
D'accord.
I could never hear it, which is why I got the gentleman's B in slash C the whole time. I can't hear it. I can read it. I can't hear it.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
The exact. All right. Same. Well, yeah. So
on that note, merde.
Merde.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I guess we can wrap up. So yeah, do you do an outtake for your patrons?
No, like I released the main episode to them early. So I don't know this for a fact, but I assume they listen to that first. They should.
Yeah. But, hopefully.
But
yeah, you're not a libertarian unless you follow what would be the organizational method there? It'd be
you're not a libertarian.
Chronological order.
you're not a libertarian unless you confirm or conform, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like the nonconformist from South Park.
Yeah.
You gotta listen to goth music and smoke cigarettes and wear black. Otherwise you're not a nonconformist.
Yeah.
All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun. We'll do this again very soon.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it again. All right. Well, cool. We'll of course, I'll see you in the chat logs in the various corners of the internet.
Hell yeah.
And then, we'll get you on our show.
Awesome.
Cool, cool. All right. Well, you have a good night and get some sleep.
Yeah, y'all too.
All right, man. See you later.
See you. Yeah.